Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, here are some facts for you. Did you know that the average office worker is interrupted by 200 emails every single day? That's the average office worker. 200 emails interrupts their work every single day. Did you know that by the year 2011, there will be 3.2 billion email users on the planet? Now, for some people, those figures might seem a little, I don't know, ho-hum, not such a big deal, but have you ever stopped to consider just how all this electronic communication is changing our world, maybe even changing the way that we think? Writer John Freeman has done so. He's pondered all this and more in a book called Shrinking the World, and our book critic, Cara Martin, is kind of excited about it, I hear. Hi, Cara.
Greetings, Sheridan.
I tell you, we keep on talking about Facebook and Twitter at the moment, and I keep on saying to folks, you know what, I can't keep up with email, let alone doing that. I would like to do it, but I can't keep up with email. And I know of people who specifically say, I will only answer email at one time during the day. It might be the morning, the lunchtime, or the afternoon. I still haven't been able to do that. But it really is amazing how much email actually interrupts our lives and changes the way that we think. Now, this is a book that's not just about email, but also about communication in general, right?
Well, what he does is he sort of starts with the history of the way we send written communication. So he talks about the very first example of a letter we have, which is this love poem on a clay tablet. And he points out that what the person had to do was initially sort of collect the clay and then write out the poem and then bake it and let it dry and then send it to whoever was the recipient. And depending where the recipient lives, that whole process could have taken weeks. And nowadays we can say I love you and send off in seconds. So I guess he's just trying to contrast and show us how much quicker the process is of thinking through something, writing it down and sending it. But his warning is that things like love messages are things that should actually really be deliberated about. And what he's saying is that our forms of communication have become so fast and so simple and so instant that maybe we're not deliberating enough. And I guess that's the real warning behind the message.
Because the idea was that all of these time-saving technologies would save us time so we had more time with people.
Yep.
Never happened.
That's the great irony of it all, isn't it? And instead what's happened is it's actually allowed work to intrude into every sphere of our lives. And it actually steals a lot of time. And he goes through the reasons why this sort of thing happens. And part of the reason is that it's too easy to be able to send things. It's just a tap of the button. But then we also forward things and then we reply to everything. And all these sort of simple actions are just increasing the amount of the volume of traffic that's out there.
So 3.2 billion email users on the planet.
Yeah.
He doesn't give any idea as to how many emails might be circulating at all,
does
he?
Listen to this.
Yeah?
Yeah, this was a statistic that really hit me. He said in 1929, which was a long while ago, he said there were 20 million telegrams sent in that year, which sounds an awful lot. He says, you know, with the population changes that we've had, that would be the equivalent of 80 million telegrams today sent in one year.
Okay.
Every 10 minutes, we send 600 million emails. Isn't that amazing? Every 10 minutes.
600 million emails every 10 minutes.
I know, it's mind-boggling.
Isn't that amazing? And of course, some of those could simply be yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's
some of them could be, you know, love messages or something.
Yeah,
and others could be, you know, weighty treatises. That's amazing. 600 million every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go into then what he says are the ways that email is changing the world. Give me some key points that he runs down.
Well, he says there are three things that have happened. The first thing is that everything has sped up. So we're all into instant and fast. And that means that what we do to keep up with emails, like you were saying before, we tend to scan, we skim. So the results of that is already in children, they're seeing that reading comprehension levels are dropping quite dramatically. And there are studies that show that nowadays people tend to drop over blocks of text because it takes too long to get through it. So we've actually picked up all these ways of just getting the surface of things without actually deeply comprehending what it's saying. The second thing is that we need to remember that we're in a physical world. In the virtual world, it's easy to misunderstand. So he says studies have shown that 50% of emails are misunderstood. And that's because we just don't have the verbal cues or the physical cues. We can't see
tonality,
the nod. Yeah, all that stuff. We just miss all the things that you need for good comprehension.
Even less than a handwritten letter, because even at least with a handwritten letter, you could tell, even sometimes with the handwriting itself, or maybe if it was in capitals, or now you can use capitals when you're typing, but you know, sometimes you can even tell, you know, what is happening.
And with a letter, we tend to take a bit more time and express ourselves more carefully. With emails, we just shoot the stuff off often. And the third thing is context. Context is very important. What we end up with emails is we lose context because we end up just sending short, sharp jabs. And I was thinking about this and you realize that, you know, when you send a letter, you do put sort of all the detail in. When you send an email, you tend to just respond to the last thing. So often you end up getting copied in on something or getting something forward to you, which is just a part of an idea, and you've lost all the context and all the sense of it.
It's almost like I don't know what the correct word would be, but almost like a microcosm is what you actually get in the end. You lose the whole. Interesting. We're talking about the effect of email on our world. 1-300-40-20-20. You've got something to throw into the conversation. John Freeman has written a book called Shrinking the World, and it's about this very, very notion. Does he give any ideas then as to, actually, I was going to go to tips, but actually before we do that, you know, we were talking before about Facebook and, and Twitter and things. Does he go into those technologies or just focus on email?
He goes into it a little bit, and I think actually we can sort of expand those ideas and pull on them. He says that part of what email does is that we actually write ourselves into things. And what he means by that is that in the virtual world, you can actually create the sort of person that you want to be. And even in email, you can do that, but especially in social networking, people do that. You can choose what you look like. You can even change what you look like. You can actually create a whole persona for yourself, and you certainly do that in games. And on Facebook, you can actually be very careful about what you edit in and you edit out, what you tell people you're doing with your day, etc., etc. So his warning there is that although we're communicating far more, we're actually revealing far less of ourselves.
Which is an interesting switch, because the whole idea is that social networking sites kind of reveals us to the world.
Yeah.
But we're revealing less.
Yeah, that's right.
It is an edited life. There's no, it's very, it's a very...
It's selective.
Very selective.
That's right.
It's a very bold person who will sit and saying, "I'm, you know, I've got a towel draped around me. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I've only just woken up,
and I've done absolutely nothing.
I've done nothing with my
diet." That's right. And you can't hide those things when you're face to face.
That's right.
People can see everything. All the mystery is taken away, and you can't pretend to people as much when it's face to face. You tend to be able to tell when someone's sort of putting it on. Much harder to tell when it's on in a virtual world.
Okay. So does it give any ideas as to how we can just manage life in an email world?
He gives 10 tips. I can really quickly run through them. The first one is, he says, don't send. He says, don't send unless you need to. Like, we often send stuff that probably we don't need to, or copy in people we don't need to, or forward stuff that really is unnecessary. The second thing he says, don't check it first thing in the morning or late at night. And he talks about the impact of the brain on actually doing that sort of thing, that it stops you falling to sleep because your brain is activated and stimulated. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, it actually distracts you and means that you can't focus or concentrate.
Claire's nodding. Open House producer Claire is nodding. And I am too. The times that I have checked my email at night, I normally actually do struggle to sleep later on.
Yep.
I've often thought it's just simply because I'm starting to think about those issues rather than putting the day to bed, so to speak. But maybe there's also a physiological aspect of the
life in your
eyes.
Yeah, he talks about the impact in the brain, about all that visual stimulation as well. He also says that thing that you said earlier about checking it just a couple of times a day. That's a really hard discipline to do. He says part of doing that is actually keeping a written to-do list with email on it. We tend to think that email is a thing that we just do all the time. Like, if it beeps, then we respond to it. But he says, see it as just a part of your day rather than the thing that has to be done. 40% of our time is spent on email. That's a heck of a lot of time. The fifth thing is, he says, give good email. And what he means by that is, do short messages and let people know when they don't have to respond, so that we don't get into that cycle of responding and then responding to the person who responded and then responding or nauseam. Actually, let people know you don't have to respond to this. That's fine. The sixth thing is, read the entire incoming email before replying. And I laughed when I thought of this, but then I realized, heck, I think that's a really common thing that we do. We just read the first couple of paragraphs and then we respond. But actually reading the whole lot is really important. The seventh thing seems like an obvious thing, but I suspect we can fall in the trap of it. Do not debate complex or sensitive matters by email. Mm-hmm. We all know the dangers of having done that, and we know that some people have done that to us, but it's sometimes a tempting thing to do. He also says that if you work as a group, face-to-face is much more effective than email. And that's interesting because I think it's a tendency now that people email via groups, but he says studies have shown that you can get things done a lot quicker by just meeting face-to-face in a meeting, dealing with all the questions and actually understanding what everyone's doing. So that's a good thing to remember. Mm-hmm. Number nine is set up your desk to do something besides email, which I can't even imagine doing, not having the computer there front and center. But I think his point is that by just putting the computer to one side, you're actually signaling to yourself that part of your time is going to be spent reflecting, thinking, dealing, deepening your thoughts. It's not saying this machine is going to control what I do today.
It's putting it in its place.
Yeah, that's right. And the 10th thing is schedule media-free time every day. And he says studies have shown that if we do that, we sleep better, we tend to communicate more with the people that we live with or with our friends. We've got time to learn something new or read a book. And what we're doing then is showing again that we can exercise control and not just react.
Mm-hmm.
Some great tips.
Very, very good tips. I'd love to know if some folks are putting those into practice or feel like they should. 1-300-40-2020. Give me a call. I'd love to know how you're managing email and other kind of electronic forms of communication, text and all that kind of stuff. Does it actually intrude on your life the way certainly this author, John Freeman, says it does? Before we let you go, does he have anything to say about how email affects us spiritually? Like, is there any...
He doesn't, but I think we can translate some of those things on. So it's all about sort of the way we speed up things. And I wonder if maybe we unconsciously do that in terms of how we deal with spiritual things. So I think part of our response to this is we have an expectation that we want things fast, we want it in juicy chunks, and the focus is me. Because that's what the computer is all about, you know. And
did you come up with that yourself? That's
Thank you very much.
It's very good. I think you've got a new book in that. That's very. Say it again. 3 points.
Okay. Our expectation is we want it fast. We want it in juicy chunks, and the focus is me.
God, give it to me right now, it's all about me.
That's right. Mm. So, of course, this can lead spiritually to a very shallow relationship with God. Mm. But the challenge of this book is what he does say we need to do with all parts of our lives is to slow down. We need to take the time to explore relationships and deepen things rather than just going shallow. And we need to look around us and appreciate what's around us.
Very much so. All right, Cara, thank you.
Pleasure.
The book is Jonathan Freeman's Shrinking the World. You'll find Cara's written review online too at theopenhouse.net.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.